I want to ask a couple of questions to get us started in relation to the lesson that was shared this morning. Now, I don't know if there's anyone old enough to answer part of the first one, if you picked it up. I'm guarding myself here. What were some of the hardest economic times that you might have ever lived through? And I was wondering, did any one of you live through the Depression? If so, what it was like for you and your family? So I don't know if there's anyone who lived for it. There might be people who were little children, but it doesn't have to be the Depression. But I've heard from many people that I've been close to over the years some of the descriptions of living through that period of time. But so you can answer it generally, what were some of the hardest economic times you ever lived through? And if anyone lived through the Depression, maybe you might share for those who are younger than us. Any Depression there, please? He's going to bring a mic right there. We don't want to miss a word.
Yeah, I was about 7 years old and when it hit, and the folks moved from the city to country, and we got a cow. And so naturally it fell on the kids to take this cow out and so on like that. Milk it, not like that. Well, WPA was started then. Most people don't know what that is. But that was people going out and digging ditches just to make, get enough money to live on.
Right.
And so this old fellow that was in charge of it asked me if I'd want to be a water boy. And so I said, yeah. So I'd give him water and so on. So I said, well, we got milk. He said, you want to sell milk? Good. So we started selling little bottles of milk and so on. And so that happened back there, and people, I tell about it now, just don't believe that that went on.
Yeah.
But it actually did. And WPA was all for everybody that was out of work. And it helped them out and got them going along.
Anyone else ever go through hard situations, economic situations? You saw or you listened to, and we read out of 2 Kings what was going on during that famine. I'm not expecting anyone to maybe compare it quite to that, but has anyone else gone through some really hard times? And I'm curious, how did it affect your family?
This was when Glenn first entered the Army. And I don't know. We got married down in Oklahoma.
It wasn't fun.
Anyway, his starting salary for the entire month was $91.
Wow.
And we had to live on that. Of course, I just used anything I could, and I used flour and water. I made some biscuits and things like that.
Biscuits and
no
gravy.
Milk, just we drank water. And you, I don't think we were unhappy at all.
That's interesting. Can we go through times like that, or especially hard, and still have a measure of happiness, if maybe not happiness, joy? Okay. I heard stories from my, more from my father-in-law, who was quite a bit older, well, and grandparents, about the Depression era. And I've seen movies, you know, that go into that era. And maybe some of you saw the one that came out, it was very popular a few years ago, about the guy who worked on the docks, and then he got into, it was a true story, into boxing, became a world champion and this type of thing. And it was hard to believe that in the United States, we saw that kind of hunger, that they were coming into the home, and there literally at times there was not food. We've had a measure of that different people at different times. And striking contrast even then to what we read about in the siege of Samaria. But I think it's interesting to note that even through these hard times, sometimes there can be inspiring stories based on people's character, you know, that will see people through. Other than the gospel, what's the best news you've ever heard? See, if I just said, what's the best news you ever heard, and you said something about you want a new car and you didn't say the gospel, boy, everyone would be shaking their head. So I set it up to protect us. Other than the gospel? What's the best news you ever heard, and did you keep it secret? Yes, sir.
I got promoted to sergeant. I didn't have to do KP any longer.
Except at home, maybe. Okay, she's got one better. Okay. Awesome. Any people relate to that? Well, grandparents? Did you share that? You just shared it with us. Anyone else? What's some of the best news you ever heard? Wow, we got a sad lot here. We better start singing some uplifting song. Come on, you've had some good news in your life. No? Come on. Yeah, Richard, are you just kind of... Now, isn't that true for a lot of us, really? We may not feel like sharing, but haven't we often in our lives just had some news that you're just, this is awesome. You're so grateful, and you want to share it. I know when we found out about Carrie recently, and we were told, there were concerns at first, don't tell anyone. You know, it was hard. It felt wrong. But I was so happy. And there's so many times like that. And the instinct when you have it is, I want to share it. Don't you ever, you want to be the one? You know, you're thinking, okay, can we call so-and-so, or do they want to call them? Because you want them to have the joy of sharing some news. There's something about good news. You get promoted. And every guy who's been in the military thinks, you don't have to do KP anymore, we get it. You do that at home, but not at work anymore. All the different things that have come into your life, medical things, you're waiting for tests. And they come back, and it's the right return. It's not malignant, or it's one thing or another. There's times when we have that. When we have bad news, we don't have the motivation to share it in the same way. We'll seek out those who will be able to comfort us, but it's not something we want broadcast all over the place. So, good news. When we believe it's really good news, you don't have to be held in check too much, do you, to share that? Quite a history lesson here in 2 Kings. There's so much in these stories, and you can concentrate on a lot of different areas. But sometimes when I read these historical accounts, I still realize how mortal I am, that it's hard to understand aspects of the Lord, our God, and there's hard to understand sometimes people, because I'm so far removed from the conditions that are the backdrop for some of the decisions that people make. I realize I have never come close to being as destitute as some people really have, and maybe are facing similar situations even today. When you read of this great famine in Samaria, how they've been besieged, and maybe it was a general famine throughout the whole land, or maybe it's because they were just surrounded. It was hit the city more heavily. But it's hard for me to conceive of the conversation that this king had with one of the people, with one of the ladies in this kingdom. Did you have trouble relating to that? It's hard to grasp the conversation when you look. And I put these scriptures, if you picked up on the little handouts, the scriptures are in red on the back of that. There was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver. Now, do you think that's kind of high? When you go shopping for a donkey's head, what do you pay per pound? And yet, this was an exorbitant price for something I have no interest in eating at all. I'd have to be very hungry. Now, that teaches me I've never been really very hungry. I thought I'd been hungry. But donkey's head? I've seen people cut off meat off of a pig's head. and make carnitas out of it. But that seemed, you know, that seemed reasonable to me, but a donkey's head. Now, and a fourth of a cob of dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Again, I don't know what the going rate is, but I know this was considered very exorbitant at the time. And again, I'm hoping that the people who suspect it was used for fuel are correct, but other commentators say no. When there was a famine, that there was whatever the doves eat, you know, I guess there's some little seeds or different thing in there, and they are literally just trying to survive and put something into their system to get them to survive. Hard for me to understand then. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him saying, "Help, help, my lord, O king." He said, "If the Lord does not help you, from where shall I help you? From the threshing floor or from the wine press?" And the king said to her, "What is the matter with you?" And she answered, "This woman said to me." Now, when I first read this, I started thinking, can I read this in the morning to a mixed audience, including children? This just seems horrific to me. I felt uncomfortable. My mind, I have a hard time grasping this. And the king said to her, "What is the matter?" The woman said to him, "Give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow." So we boiled my son and ate him, and I said to her on the next day, "Give your son that we may eat him," but she has hidden her son. Can you imagine this king hearing this from the people that he was supposed to be a leader of and guiding? One of his subjects, the woman is calling him Lord. He tore his clothes. Now he was passing by on the wall, and the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth beneath his body. Then he said, "May God do so to me and more also if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today." Elijah had made this prophecy. And so he has this sense that it's his fault and I will deal with him. Of course, Elijah then gives him some better news. And yet, the royal guard in the court didn't believe it. Mocks even this good news that the next day, the prices on everything was going to drop. Something was going to turn around. And the king didn't really seem to accept it very well either. Even when the good news came, the king right away wanted, wait, this can't be that good of news. It's a setup, this type of thing. But we can see how destitute people can become. And we're looking at the physical. But out of this, we can see how wretched that situation is, how wretched we are when we reject God, how spiritually wretched we can become when we reject God. If you want to look briefly, again, I have it if you don't want to look it up in your own Bible. If 2 Kings 6:25 is, I'm supposed to say, a fulfillment of the prophecy in Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, 53 through 57. If so, how? What does this tell us as believers today about the wrath of God? So you want to look up after this story in 2 Kings 6, 25 through 30. And again, it's printed in red on that sheet you have. But notice what it says on Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, 53 through 57. I'm looking. You can read that entire chapter, but we don't have time. Leviticus 26, 27 through 29. "Yet in spite of this, you do not obey me, but act with hostility against me. Then I will act with wrathful hostility against you. And I, even I, will punish you 7 times for your sins. Further, you will eat the flesh of your sons and the flesh of your daughters you will eat." Now, in that chapter, he's telling them the rewards that he will give, the blessings he will give to his people if they obey him. And they're wonderful. But then he gets to the section of the, this is what I will bring upon you if you do not obey me. This is the God that we sing and pray to today. He has not changed. And that's what he said. Deuteronomy 28, 53 through 57. Then you shall eat the offspring of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, whom the Lord your God has given you during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you. The man who is refined and very delicate among you shall be hostile toward his brother and toward the wife he cherishes and toward the rest of his children who remain, so that he will not give even one of them any of the flesh of his children which he will eat, since he has nothing else left during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you and all your towns. The refined and delicate woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground for delicateness and refinement, shall be hostile toward the husband that she cherishes, and toward her son and daughter, and toward her afterbirth which issues from between her legs, and toward her children whom she bears. For she will eat them secretly for lack of anything else during the siege and the distress by which your enemy will oppress you and your towns. Is there a connection between 2 Kings and that siege and what was said before? And if so, is there any application for us today? Those hard words to hear coming from our God, that's when sometimes I just realize how small I am in compared to Him and understanding His ways and His holiness. And more than that, I guess, how imperfect I am, unrighteous and unholy, because it's hard for me to grasp how much our Lord takes displeasure in rebellion and lack of faithfulness to Him. You see, as much as I'm shocked by reading these horrific, to me, details and prophecies saying, this is what's going to happen to you if you do not keep my commandments, people, the God who says, I want to bless you. I want to bless you richly. And here's how I will do it. But if you reject it and you reject me, hear this horror to the magnitude that I find this horrific testifies to how horrific my rebellion is against my Lord and His mind, His perfect mind, and His righteous mind. And that brings some very real fear into my life. And then I begin to get it better, fear the Lord. Take Him seriously. These events come to fruition when the people are not living right with Him. And it's horror. And on a spiritual level, even though these are physical manifestations of the spiritual battle, I can begin to understand this ultimate separation between the sheep and the goats. That there really is going to be a day of judgment, as much as this was judgment. It's going to be horrific. When people hear, depart from me, I never knew you. What worse news can someone hear than that? Depart from me, I never knew you. What worse news is there when someone who is an adult, who has fallen into sin and never been reconciled, to die unprepared? Again, the magnitude of these horrors are even less than the magnitude of being lost forever because of sin and rebellion, because of what God our Father believes about it. So to, again, I balance this out. I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked that these things would occur. I'm shocked that people were told this will happen to you. I will bring it about. I will bring about sieges. I will bring about famine. And this is what you're going to experience. Horror that I can't even believe, because I can't comprehend ever doing some of the things that we know mankind has done before, just to hang on to physical life. And then I think, when these guys say it's a day of good news, even in this story, it's not near as good news as the good news of the gospel that saves our souls and reconciles us to God, so that we might receive the blessings and not receive the horrific things of a lake of fire for eternity with no hope. The news that we have is unbelievably good news. And then we question why at times do we go through periods in our own life that we're not sharing it. Well, there really is an evil force, isn't there? Deceptive force. And so if we can be convinced that it's not that good a news, or that maybe it's not real, we can lose our incentive to share it. It's that we're not comprehending how evil is when it's in rebellion against our God, and how wonderful reconciliation is, and how wonderful the blessings are that our God wants to give us. And not just Kevin. You know, when I internalize this, why do I want to share this? Wow. It's much better news than those four lepers had, isn't it, really? They got some temporary relief there. They had things that are going to give them physical sustenance. Many of us know what we talk about when we talk about survival instinct, what people will do to preserve their physical life. And yet, why is it so often we don't take our spiritual life anywhere near as seriously? Because that's an eternal existence. That is worth sacrificing for. That is worth sharing. That people do not have to face dire eternal consequences that, as horrific as this is, it's worse. What a loving, awesome God we have. How fearful to fall under His wrath. How fearful to let others fall under His wrath without doing everything we can to share this awesome news of a loving God who is so just He cannot tolerate sin, but He loves us so much to a huge degree that His Son did not hold on to the kingdom glories in heaven, but He humbled Himself to take on the form, come down, and to go through what He did, risked it all. And He didn't have a good time during those 3 years for a lot of it. When you look at just the physical sufferings He went through, yet the anguish, I'm sure, was even much more. As He was betrayed, as He knew who He was and people mocked Him. And even those who mocked Him, He loved. And He wanted what was best for them. And He died for them, even His enemies, that they might not have to face the consequences. It's a great story, but it's not fiction. It's reality. And so this mission of ours, it's a mission of taking good news to everyone that we can, to appreciate it in every situation we come under. And it's hard. Walking as a disciple, sharing the good news, is not for sissies. But it's powerful. It's awesome. There can be a joy that surpasses even unhappiness. Having a joy, you can still have unhappiness. Isn't that something that's real? I think of some other people besides these four lepers. I think of Paul. How can Paul, many of you are probably like me, are you kind of okay with being judged for what you really are guilty of? You know, you get it. You may not like it. But how do you feel when you have someone slander you and put you down about things that aren't true? People who actually behave as an enemy. And then you see that your life as a disciple, you begin to grow and to mature more and more into the image of Christ, and you realize you can handle it better. Now you can learn this, loving your enemy rather than immediately striking out. And as you mature and you see this curve go up, that you're able to handle that, I've noticed that the bar for how much you like it doesn't follow it. I still hate it. You learn to handle it better, but you still hate it. Think of the, well, obviously the Lord, but look at Paul. He makes a radical change in his life because of Jesus Christ. He hears good news, and he decides he's going to proclaim it, and he was the last person some people want to hear it from. He didn't let that stop him. He's going to proclaim Jesus Christ. You know what he did for me? Chief among sinners. You know what I did? I did all these horrible things. I'm putting that behind me, and I'm going to press on. There's good news, and I'm going to share it whenever and wherever. And he goes to prison for that. You're supposed to be encouraged. You're supposed to get written up in the Brotherhood newspapers. Look at the great word Brother Paul's doing. Instead, he's in prison. Would that not kind of irritate you? Well, this isn't right. I don't deserve this. He deserves that. And Paul and Silas, what are they doing in prison? Are they sitting over in the corner with me? Oh, man, I got to rethink this whole Christianity thing. I don't get this. I wanted the blessings. I'm following the Lord. I don't think he's happy about that situation. He wasn't enjoying the food there. It's probably all vegetables. And yet he's singing praises to God. That's good news. You see, he knew Jesus Christ, and it sustained him through that. And he shared that good news, and jailers will come to the Lord. So that's what we're called to walk. It's exciting. There's good news. We all have access to it. We don't have to be in a spiritual famine. And we can withstand a physical one when we are fed spiritually, can't we? Wow. And people here, and our body that we love so much, are having things that feel like famine. And yet they're holding on and they're praising God because of the joy that comes from the gospel. And we cannot contain this. We must revisit that. We must be on our knees and pray for the boldness that we're not going to let anything, any fear, any discouragement, any obstacles hold us back from the mission that Jesus Christ gave to us. We are going to see that there is a light in Orange County because there's good news and it's powerful. It has the power to save souls and to change lives in this world and equip people for this world and equip them for eternity. And that's awesome. Let's remember that's who we are. And let's pray about it. And let's get in the habit and develop patterns that we are going to share this good news, just as those four lepers did. And you maybe say, but look at me. Who am I? You're a child of God. And we're told to always be able to give account for the joy, for the grace that's been extended to us. And we can all do that. And it doesn't depend on how great you are. It certainly didn't. With these four lepers, who shared a lot of good news that even reached the king. So even the least of us, however that's designed, a sign. In fact, those who are the least, who are the most humble, very often are those who are most receptive to the working of God in their lives. So we just wanted to have an encouragement out of this in the midst of so much hard to read stuff. Remember, there's another side to that. It just magnifies the grace and the joy and the blessing that God wants to give us. So read the full thing in Leviticus. I read the bad part. Because I don't want any of us to be unprepared. I don't want anyone of our people to hear, when he comes again, depart from me. Neither do I want anyone else. It'll be up to the other people, but they have to make a decision. They won't unless they hear the gospel. And they're not going to hear the gospel unless we share it with them in many different ways, as many of you are doing. Some of you do it in many different ways. There are people here who are corresponding with people behind bars right now in this congregation through World Bible School. A lot of different ways, but it has to be the gospel being shared, and each one of us can do that. Alrighty, we're going to end our evening service. Again, thanking you for being here. And for anyone who may not have really received the good news, we encourage you to do that. To do more than hear it, but to apply it. Decide to be a disciple. Give your life fully. Inherit the blessings and the joy that will surpass the worst circumstances. Give your life to Jesus. Obey him. Come and be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, and come up knowing that you have been reconciled to the God who so desires to bless you in so many ways. So if there's any way the shepherds can be of assistance to you, just let us know at this time as Chris leads us in a